Hi everyone, it's Ryan Hoover, your host of Product Hunt Radio, where I'm joined by the founders, investors, and makers that are shaping the future of tech. Today I'm joined by Everett Taylor, a fellow entrepreneur and community builder that I got to know back in 2014 it was, when he was growing growthhackers.com. But well before this, Everett began his journey as a founder, starting and selling an events business in his teenage years. He later went on to join a few startups and run marketing and growth, including at a company called Skirt. I love that company. Awesome. Awesome car rental service before they were acquired. And Sticker Mule, a company that makes our awesome Product Hunt stickers. Today, Everett runs ET Enterprises, a collection of businesses that include Pop Social, Haver, Millicent, and his newest venture, Artex. On the podcast, we chat about Everett's path to entrepreneurship, the importance of brand authenticity, and we dive into some of his favorite products that include a few self-care apps like Headspace and Soothe. But before I jump in, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors. Introducing SpokenMeet, a new, incredibly easy-to-use video conferencing tool designed for small businesses. Featuring HD video and crystal clear audio, SpokenMeet just works. Join video conferencing in seconds with no download required, and you'll get unlimited meetings, unlimited recordings for only $11.99 a month. Secure and reliable with access from anywhere you have an internet connection or phone connection. You're able to simply meet. Learn more at spoka.com, that's spelled S-P-O-K-A, and sign up for a free 30-day trial. The sexual wellness space is booming. But most innovation and investment has been focused on the body rather than the brain. Dipsy is changing that by taking a mind-first approach to female sexuality with an app for short, sexy audio stories, which makes sense considering 90% of women use mental framing to get turned on. The bite-sized audio stories are perfect for solo or couples, listening to set the mood, spark your imagination, and start intimate conversation. Head to dipsystories.com/producthunt, that's D-I-P-S-E-A, stories.com/producthunt, to download the iOS app. The first few stories are free. So how's it going, Everett?
It's good, man. It's a beautiful day in LA. It's been like cold and rainy and all types of terrible weather in Los Angeles. So it's just nice to see it getting back to our spoiled normal ways here. I'm glad to be back in LA. I've been here close to 4 years now, man, kind of away from the Silicon Valley area. So it's going to be interesting to see how you adjust out here as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. So give the audience like a little bit of your background. Where were you born? Where'd you come from? You know, what have you been up to over the past, I don't know, how many decades of professional experience?
Where did I come from? Richmond, Virginia is where I'm originally from. Born and raised. It's where I started my first company. My first company was a company called Easy Events. And so I literally threw parties, man, and I started to build technology around that for like ticketing, sharing photos of events and things like that, and was able to sell that after a couple years. And that kind of got my entrepreneurial juices flowing.
Yeah. How old were you when you started that company?
I was 19 years old.
Oh, wow.
Interesting for me is like, I always tell people I'm like a young OG, a young OG, because my first marketing job was when I was 14 years old for a company called Eastern National. Eastern National was a company that booked stores for all of the national parks on the East Coast. And so I did marketing and sales there for Eastern National starting in high school on a worker's permit. And then I started my first company at 19. So it's been 15 years in the game for marketing and 10 years for entrepreneurship.
And let's see, what year was that? Was Facebook Events around when you were starting that company? Because I say that because that's what I used to discover a lot of events. I don't know what I would have done before Facebook Events came around.
You know, one of the reasons, and we can get into this a little bit later, but one of the reasons that I moved out to California was because of my lack of knowledge. You know, me and you both come from places where they aren't like necessarily tech hubs or places that, you know, you have a lot of people around that you can learn from in the tech and entrepreneurial space. And so when I built my first company, one of the biggest mistakes that I made was I didn't build a platform for, I didn't know what SaaS was. I didn't know what software as a service was. And so I was just using the technology that I built for my own parties and events. And like, say, an Eventbrite, I didn't think about, wow, I can profit off of this software from other people using it, right? And so after I sold the company and I started to learn more of the value of what I built, I was like, man, I need to get out to California. I need to get out to Silicon Valley. I need to learn more things because there was just so much I didn't know. I was so wet behind the ears.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, I had a friend of mine tell me, to paraphrase, you know, if you look back and you don't feel a little bit naive or maybe a little stupid perhaps in your younger years, it means maybe you're not learning as quickly as maybe you should. And I was super noob when I got my first product management job. I had no idea what I was doing and still learning quite a bit in various roles that I serve. But it's humbling, you know, when you look back on that, because for me, I realize there's so much I have to learn going forward too, reflecting on my naivete, you know, as a kid.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So that was 2000. I mean, I didn't formally form the company until 2009, but that was 2008 when I started kind of pulling that together. And so, yeah, you know, interestingly enough, like Facebook wasn't necessarily like an inspo for it. It was more so, it was actually, it added a little bit of inspiration because I realized that people wanted pictures to share on Facebook and MySpace. So I wanted to create something that was easy for them to upload photos from events. And then also, one of the biggest problems I saw was, you know, this was pre-Square, right? So if you went to a party or a club or event, if you didn't have cash, it was like, oh, you got to go find an ATM. You might have to walk blocks away, right? And so I wanted to create something where people could pay for tickets in advance, right? And, you know, that technology existed, but, you know, for going to local events, it was just not something that I really saw.
Yeah. Then what led you after that? What was next after that startup?
So I sold it and I went back to college. I went back to college. I sold the company, got my mom out of the hood, bought a Porsche stupidly. I ran through that money pretty fast. I learned a lot about taxes and capital gains. And I went back to college and man, you know, I was there for a couple years and I felt like I was starting to kind of get lost in the shuffle of what everyone else was doing. Where I went to school, Virginia Tech, and the only reason I went to Virginia Tech is because it had tech in a name. And I was like, well, that's where I need to be. And I realized people graduated and then moved to the DMV, which is DC, Maryland, Virginia, took like a government job or whatever, you know, just whatever job. And they try to, you know, just work their way up. And, you know, it's just this whole like same thing over and over again. And so I kind of wanted to like switch and change that up, you know. I started looking for opportunities and I connected with Sean Ellis, who's, you know, famous for coining the term growth hacking and led marketing at like Dropbox, Eventbrite, LogMeIn, Uproar. He had done marketing at Eventbrite and I had started a company, you know, in the event marketing space and sold it. And, you know, I had a really interesting mix of experience and, you know, he offered me the opportunity to come out to California and be kind of back and forth between Orange County and Silicon Valley, San Mateo, where our other office was, you know, work and learn about tech, you know, in the startup space. Because even though I started my own company, I felt like I wasn't really experienced in the startup space. I got offered an opportunity with him and I left literally a week later, man, dropped out of school. Yeah, just like that, headed out to California. Yeah, man, the rest was history after that. That company was Qualaroo, which eventually got acquired. We started growthhackers.com together, which is when me and you kind of got familiar with one another.
Yeah, that's how we I think it was through Growth Hackers, if I'm not mistaken, that we initially met.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, Growth Hackers, a product hunt, started around similar times. You know, seeing what you were doing with your community, it was really inspiring to us. And, you know, I remember everything. I remember when it was like, you know, a small little thing. And it's crazy to see what it's exploded into now. And yeah, I'm really proud of you, by the way, bro. And yeah, so Growth Hackers, which led to my name growing within the marketing and growth space. And so I started a marketing firm, Millicent, which is still around today.
After your mother?
After my mom. Yeah. Millicent.
Yeah.
Started Millicent, which is still going strong. It's been amazing, you know, nice and steady year over year growth, not like explosive rocket ship growth, man, but like, it's just a blessing to have a company still going after, you know, 5-6 years. You know, that success with all that led me to heading over to Sticker Mule, which you're familiar with. I'm CMO there, leading some growth over at Microsoft, which I remember doing an AMA for Product Hunt when I was over doing growth for Microsoft, and then eventually over to Skirt, which when I went over to Skirt, simultaneously, I had launched Pop Social, which at the time was called Growth Pup. And Pop Social is a social media software company for social media growth. And yeah, man. And since then, man, yeah, it's just keep on going.
Skirt's a company that I loved at the time while it was around. And for those that don't know, Skirt was a company to rent a vehicle really affordably, a nice vehicle that would get delivered to you. And I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was only in LA to start with. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was only in LA. Then we branched out to Orange County, San Diego, and Miami.
Yeah, and I would use it every time I went to LA. It was way better than trying to go to Hertz or Avis or any of those others. And I loved it. Later got acquired by Fair, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, so what are you up to now? You've kind of had this varied history largely around marketing and growth, but also like founding a company. And what are you up to now?
Yeah, so now I have kind of consolidated everything I'm working on, under ET Enterprises. Very creative, I know. And so
Ever Taylor, for those that didn't get it.
Yeah. And under there, it just kind of has my portfolio of companies, you know, which include Growth Hackers, Millicent, Pop Social, which is our flagship company. I have a nonprofit called Southside Fund, which doesn't even have a website yet, by the way. It's, you know, I've always been that type of guy. You know this about me. Like, I'm a very philanthropic guy. I'm always, you know, volunteering my time. And I was always kind of like, well, I don't really want to, you know, brag or like kind of put out there all the stuff that I've been doing in terms of giving out scholarships, but I want to start to bring more awareness for those scholarships. So we're releasing a website for it and everything soon. Haver, which is a app and software for drug and alcohol addiction, which I'm a part owner of. And then ArtX, which is the newest company, which is going to be a digital media platform, as well as a software company, essentially helping expose visual artists, giving them a platform on the media side, which honestly, it's so interesting that we're on this, you know, podcast, because you were a huge inspiration for ArtX. Product Hunt was a huge inspiration for ArtX, because being an art collector, it's super difficult. It's like, where the hell do you go to find new artists? Like, where do you go to, you know, easily discover new artists for those who are into visual art, and then to learn more about those artists and then give them tools to help them be successful. And I feel like Product Hunt has become this vehicle to help people get exposed.
It's tough. It's tough if you're really a creator of any kind, whether you're building an app or, you know, a musician or you're a painter. You know, there's a lot of people who are creating, and so it's just hard to break through the noise. So that's really cool. What stage are you in the process of that?
That's launching March 15th, if all goes well. So that's getting launched March 15th. I'm doing a partnership with Upwork to launch the site, which I'm really excited about. And not only is it going to be a media platform to kind of give that exposure to artists a la Product Hunt, but also coming out with software tools. So we're only starting with two or three at first, but think about kind of having like that Microsoft 360 kind of suite of tools, but for creatives and visual artists that we're rolling out as well as events. So I'm really excited about that new product coming out soon. That's like the newest stuff that I'm working on. And Pop Social is still going strong. I'm really excited about that. The growth has been insane. We had like 6x growth over the past year.
Wow.
So yeah, it's that's been really, really amazing. But I've stepped down as CEO of individual companies and really focusing on self-care. Now I'm just CEO of the holding company ET Enterprises, and I've been able to put leadership in place for all the different brands and companies. So
kind of segueing off of Pop Social a little bit here, you've built a fantastic like personal brand. And I kind of, some ways I don't like using the word personal brand because it comes with so much baggage and in some ways judgment actually, but branding, or at least positioning yourself in the world where you stand out and have a perspective and expertise in a certain way, so important, especially going back to what we said before around how do you break through the noise when everyone is a creator of some sort. Do you have any advice or I don't know, ways, tactics, strategies, or ideas around building that brand and kind of building a following or some sort of expertise around a certain kind of domain or community?
Yeah, man. You know, there's a Tupac quote that says, "All good things come to those who stay true." We get so caught up in portraying an image that isn't real or isn't true. And I think the best way to grow And I would say this about your brand as well, is just being genuine and true to who you are. Because people are going to see through it. Or if you're faking it, it's going to get exposed eventually. What's the point in like building like a huge brand and then getting exposed later for it not being true? My brand originally getting built, and you probably remember this, was growth hacking and marketing, right? It was me being good at a specific skill set and really honing into those skills and proving myself in that arena that I could become a thought leader or a voice in that community. And so I tell people all the time, don't get so caught up on the top layer of things, right? Because at the end of the day, if you're able to build a skill set or provide value in some type of way, that's where the magic really happens, in my opinion. I see a lot of people, they kind of want, it's like that instant gratification kind of world now, where it's like, okay, I want this. Or I even see it with founders, right? Where I'll see founders who like don't have product market fit. They're barely, and I'm not trying to throw any shade, but like barely getting any revenue and or not any revenue at all. And they're like on panels every week, right? Trying to be like a thought leader and doing these like long, you know, Instagram stories or Snapchat rants or whatever you want to call it. And I'm like, man, like go build, man, like build something, you know, build something that's super credible for yourself. Then all the attention and all the other stuff is going to come with time. But I don't think any of that stuff matters if it's nothing like concrete under it, like if it doesn't have a real foundation under it.
Yeah. I mean, the ultimate personal brand is building something of value, and that could be in many different ways. It could be a company, it could be your art, it could be whatever it is. It's building it and doing it authentically. Because I think what you said about the truth will come out eventually, or people will get a hint. It's actually, I think a lot of people are very they're able to sniff out people who are inauthentic. I think more so than maybe some people like to think. And I think that's just so important to be authentic. And it's one of the reasons why I look to when I meet with founders, I also try to understand like their motivations behind starting a company and their motivations for solving a particular problem. And the founders that I personally gravitate towards the most, and the ones that I think will be most successful, are often the ones who have like a very authentic, deep connection to the problem or the space that they're trying to explore. And it's also, as a founder or a person in the world, it's always just more fun to be authentic.
Yeah.
it's just easier and more fun.
Absolutely, man. And I think that's what helped me most. I mean, you've seen me like only have go from being like, you know, having only a few thousand followers, not doing any speaking engagements. You were there when I was just building, right? You saw that. Like, before I had followers, before I did any speaking engagements, before I had any articles, what people don't realize, I didn't get my first article about myself until 2015, you know? And at that point, I had been an entrepreneur for 6 years. I had been doing marketing for, you know, however many years, right? 8, 9 years, whatever it was, right? Up until that point. And that was the first time. It was like a small little article. I didn't have my first speaking engagement till the end of 2015, I think. You know, all this stuff kind of was like a whirlwind. And what I tell people a lot too is like, okay, but you got to keep producing, right? Like last year, I only did a few interviews, and this because I was like, yo, I'm still in the process of building. Like, I don't want to keep telling the same stories and the same things. I don't really need that attention. I'm naturally an introvert, but number one is like building something that is worth talking about and having a brand around, which is authentic. And then number two is like really, really being able to utilize the digital space. I think it's more easier than ever to build a brand, whether you're using tools and software like Pop Social and other tools that are out there, whether you're utilizing, you know, social media or creating content through YouTube or, you know, writing blog posts, whatever it may be, is like, I think the foundation behind it has to be strong, because you need people who are going to validate you. Because we live in a world now where if you're not real, like someone's going to call you out, right? And so, yeah, you got to have some validation there.
The no-code space has matured quite a ton since I was a kid. I actually built my first website using Dreamweaver. Nowadays, you can build advanced web apps without writing code using Bubble. Bubble launched on Product Hunt back in 2015. Now more than 250,000 makers and companies have used Bubble to build marketplaces, social networks, CRMs, and more inside their browser. Check it out at bubble.is/producthunt to get started for free.
I wrote a post about the importance of having an audience and building a community. And it's very important not to just be building an audience just for the sake of it, and to do a bunch of speaking engagements and interviews and maybe fawn like you're actually founding a company and building something. However, there is something to building an audience, because when you build an audience for a specific vertical or area of interest, it makes building a company oftentimes easier in the future. And an example that in this post I wrote a year or two ago was Casey Neistat, is just one example. He spent many years kind of building an audience and then eventually Beam and building his company. And he couldn't have gotten any traction probably without first spending many years building a following and building, you know, fans and people that just really loved him. And he's kind of an extreme example. We don't need, you know, a million subscribers on YouTube, but having a following of people who are the future customers for your product, I think, is really useful. So with all your businesses, there's a lot of overlap, I imagine, around the audience that you're kind of building for. And it makes, I presume, at least your next business or your next venture like easier in some ways, because you already have kind of a following to tap into. Is that a fair assumption, or how would you see that?
Absolutely. And then also, like, kind of look at the companies that, you know, I started, even if you go from our first company, which was still marketing, right? And bringing people together. But when you look at Growth Hackers, or you look at me being a VP of marketing over at Qualaroo, which was a marketing tool, and then Growth Hackers, where, you know, we're tapping into that marketing growth startup community, and then Millicent, which a lot of our first clients before we've been able to kind of like up ourselves to bigger companies were within that startup space. So then Pop Social, which is helping a lot of small brands grow their audience on social media. So I'll have people that are customers and users of Growth Hackers, a client at Millicent, and using Pop Social. And then, you know, whenever I put out a discount code or do anything for like Pop Social or anything I'm doing, I can tap right into that audience, you know. And I tell people all the time, even if you don't know what you're going to do, what product you're going to build yet, it's never too early to start building an audience, right? Or building, building something, whether it's like, you know, with you, with your newsletter, right? You never know. Like, you started to build that audience, you never know what it's going to turn into. Right? I don't think it's a bad thing to start building that audience, even if you don't know quite exactly what you're going to give to them.
Right. Yeah. And part of it's not only you now have an audience to reach out to, but it's also understanding that audience deeply. And I'm certainly biased, but being a part of a community, whether it's Growth Hackers or Product Hunt or some other community, I think that's so, so helpful, because it immerses you in a community of like-minded people around a particular passion or area of expertise. And I think if I was a, you know, young college student this time, I would, or at least the advice I would give a young college student is to participate in one or two communities and be really authentic and try to be helpful with them online, because those are the types of things that will lead to a lot of open doors. And, you know, for me, that was Twitter probably. And now it's kind of Product Hunt is certainly part of that. Are there communities that you participate on online with right now, or how do you engage online normally?
Yeah, I'm like, it's so funny. I think because I built Growth Hackers and I had to be in there every single day commenting and like interacting. Now, I don't know if this you feel the same way about Product Hunt at this point now, but like sometimes, like, I just kind of like to sit back and watch now. I kind of like to just kind of take things in and see how, you know, how other people interact. You know, for me, I'm still a frequent visitor of Product Hunt. I still am looking over at Growth Hackers. So I'm really into art now, right? So I'm actually building a community around art right now, over social media with the release of ArtX. And so that's been really, really interesting to kind of start, you know, networking and really talking and learning in that community. It's been really, really fun. So that's where I've been probably the most active, is within the art community online.
Yeah. So let's talk about some products you love. Are there apps on your home screen that more people need to know about? Are there something that you purchased recently? What can you share?
Yeah, man, so many. Number one, and this is like, you know, this is like a no-brainer, like Slack is just like, the Slack mobile app experience is amazing to me. And as someone that's like always on the move, it's just perfect. It's just something I use every day. one of the first apps I check every day. It's amazing. Upwork, which I spoke a little bit about earlier, like sometimes I just need something quick. Like I just need like something done from a graphic design perspective, like really quickly done. It's just amazing, like the turnaround time, right? Like literally I could be in a meeting and I'm like, oh man, I need some edits on something. I can send it, and within 30 minutes, 45 minutes, I've already found like a contractor that flips that around and has something for me, which I think is really, really amazing. I recently spoke at Headspace. This is like my new favorite app. When I met you, this was like 2013, man, like depressed, like no one would have known, but I was depressed. I wasn't taking care of myself. I wasn't eating healthy. I didn't really know anything about mindfulness and mental health and things like that. And Headspace, like it's great that I'm in a even way better space now, but just having that app now has just been amazing for me. And it's been so, you know, just great to have. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Soothe. Soothe is amazing. Soothe is an app where you can get at-home massages. It's so lit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, honestly, I'm like on the self-care wave right now, which has been amazing. And shout out to Kazunori. If you, you need to go there when you get to LA, man. Kazunori app. It's a sushi spot in LA. And you can order it and pick up or get it delivered. But it's like my favorite place. I love their app experience. I know that doesn't matter to anyone outside of LA, but if you're in LA, Kazunori is amazing.
What is their app experience like? Is it just for reservations or does it do something something different?
No reservations, but you can order food. So the demand is so crazy. So like if you want to just order and pick up, it's just a simple, easy process. And actually, I think, you know what? I have to say, I have to give some love to ChowNow. ChowNow, they're an LA-based company that actually creates apps for restaurants and app experiences for restaurants. And so some of my favorite restaurants like Volcano, Kazunori, they all run on ChowNow. So ChowNow is really the mastermind behind all of this. But yeah, I love their app experience.
My favorite restaurant or food focused app is certainly the Phil's app. I don't know if you've ever tried it, but
no, I haven't. Yeah, I love it.
It's really well done. They used to use Caviar, which a lot of restaurants do for ordering ahead or deliveries. And Phil's released their mobile app maybe 6 or 9 months ago, and it's just really well designed. It's you open it up and it has all of the previous orders that you got. So oftentimes people, when they get their coffee, they usually get the same order. So you don't have to re-enter and dig through a menu of what you want and your preferences. So it's right there in front. And the best thing is there's some subtleties that are very Phil's, like very authentic, going back to what we said about authenticity, that are very authentic to Phil's. So when you order it, it will, you know, have a countdown timer and say, okay, it's ready in 10 minutes. Afterwards, it'll show a picture of the barista with their name right next to it in the app. So you can kind of see who actually made it, where it doesn't feel as impersonal as most other delivery or pickup services are. And then they also count, maybe for worse, maybe the number of blends that you've tried. So you can kind of collect them all almost like Pokemon style. So it's really well done. And I think it's a good model for really any restaurant that's building your own app. Like how do you kind of make the app an extension of your brand and the in-store experience? I think they've just really nailed it.
It's amazing, man. Yeah, man. It's just so many things that I love. Like, you know, music is a huge part of my self-care. Like I have subscriptions to Spotify, Apple Music, and Tidal, bro. Like it's sick.
Are you listening to all three at once just to make sure you get the most out of your money?
It's like I listen to it for, you know, different things for certain things. Like Jay-Z is like my favorite rapper and his whole like collection of music is on Tidal. Right. It's not on Apple Music. It's not on Spotify. Right. Spotify has this podcast called the Joe Budden Podcast, which I think is honestly fantastic. It's hilarious. It's great that I listen to. And then Apple Music, I would say I do most of my music listening on Apple Music. But yeah, each one, I love the content on Tidal. You know, each one is, you know, a little bit different or, you know, which I go to for different things. But really love that. That's like a huge part of my life, really.
Yeah, same, man. It's music's something I don't know. I use Spotify primarily, but I probably listen to 3 to 5 hours of music a day while I'm working, and I love live music. There's an app that just came out in beta. It's a friend of mine, Matt Mazzio, is working on it, called Road Trip. And I'm sure you remember Turntable back in the day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Mazzio was also a huge fan back in the day. And this is in some ways like a spiritual successor to Turntable, except it's more modernized. It's kind of built for our AirPod future. And so it's a mobile app, and similar to Turntable, you can start a room, your friends can join, and you can just start DJing and choosing songs and listen together in real time. The kind of difference between Turntable, which was all text-based at the time on your desktop, is this is mobile, and it's also you can speak, you can talk. So you could be listening to your favorite Jay-Z album, and you can kind of have it in the background, but you and your friends can also kind of talk over it, just like you would, you know, if you were in the same room. Or you could even listen to a podcast and kind of like have a almost like background chatter while you're listening to podcasts together. So
yeah, man, it's so many different things. Like Stripe, I want to shout them out. I love their mobile experience on Stripe. Cash App and Venmo has like been like life changing for me. Personally, I love sneakers. So Goat app is just a fantastic user experience. So there's just so many different things that I do, but I will say the thing that I probably use the most is notes on the iPhone. It's like, it's so simple, but literally I'm productive. I go through my day and I say, I need to do all these. Like at the beginning of my day, I go to notes and I look at my calendar and I say, I need to do all of these things today. Right. Whether it's something simple as like, oh, I need to get more paper towels for the kitchen. Right. But I literally list everything I want to do in notes that day. And I can judge how productive my day is by how many of those things I got through, or if I got through that whole list of things. I love notes. I know it's more simple than like Trello, but yeah, man, it's been really, really cool for me to do that personally.
Nice. We'll list all these products and apps in the show notes. Yeah. So where can they find you online? What's kind of next? What do you want to plug? Anything at all?
I want to definitely plug ArtX, which is launching next month. You can follow on the Instagram ArtX official. The website will be artx.net when we officially launch. Pop Social, it's a tool for social media growth, Instagram growth. If you want to use that, I'll give your listeners half off their first month. Just use the code Product Hunt, all caps, and we'll give out awesome. A 50% code. People are growing like exponentially on Instagram and social media using our tool. It's been amazing to see. Where can they find me? Everett, at Everett, everywhere. Snapchat, Instagram.
First name club.
Yeah, first name club.
Yeah, you know, I stuck with RR Hoover everywhere just because no one else is going to take that, even if I'm late to some social network. So I think I'm safe. But I do.
TikTok, and I was too late. Had to get TikTok, and it was too late, man. The youngsters got to it before me.
Yeah. You need a service for that. Just registers your name everywhere once a new service comes up. Nice, cool. Good seeing you, dude. I'll catch you in LA.
Yeah, man. Let's do it, man. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week. But in the meantime, share the podcast with your friends on Twitter and tag a guest you'd like to hear in a future episode. See you soon.